A couple of years ago, I met a man by the name of Mr. Martinez. One of our sisters at the Down Road Church introduced me to Mr. Martinez, and he was interested in having a Bible study. So myself and Max Dawson, one of the other preachers and shepherds at Down Road, the two of us went over to his house, and when we met him, we found out that Mr. Martinez had a lot of health issues. He had diabetes, he had lost his eyesight, he just had a tremendous amount of pain and suffering that he was going through, but we found out that this man was interested in learning about Jesus. And so we were able to teach or to have a couple of Bible studies with him, and things seemed to be going pretty well. Well, one Thursday morning around 8:15, we were actually going to go back to his house to have another study, and I received a text message from our sister in Christ, Cece, at Dallin Road to inform us that Mr. Martinez had died the night before. And we were devastated because we thought that he certainly was headed in the right direction and he was interested in learning more about God. And one of the things that I learned from that interaction with Mr. Martinez is that it reminded me that there are plenty of people in our communities who are interested and willing to take the time to learn more about Jesus and to study from the Word of God. And I often wonder what would have happened to Mr. Martinez if he had a little bit more time. We were able to have that study on Thursday, or maybe another study the following Thursday. But we don't know. His fate is now sealed. But we do recognize, and I recognize, that there are plenty of opportunities where people are willing and waiting for someone to teach them about the Word of God. And that's where you and I come in this evening. If you have your Bible, open it up tonight, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I want you to notice the saints in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul gave them great words because of the way that they were living their lives. They were sharing their faith with others, and they wanted others to know about Jesus Christ. And there's a great example for us to learn and to take away from the saints in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6, Paul said, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all the Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything." That's pretty amazing to hear, isn't it? That those Christians in the first century were living in such a way that others were being impacted, and that they were sharing their faith with those around them. Now, I recognize that that's not an earth-shattering point. I think all of us recognize that point, that we should be shining our lights and that we should be sharing our faith with others when it comes to Jesus Christ. But it is often the case that sometimes Christians struggle or have difficulty when it comes to reaching out to others and to talking about Jesus. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever had some challenges when it comes to talking to your friends or maybe your family members with respect to evangelism? And sometimes I think we can make things a little bit more harder than they really should be. Reaching the lost, sometimes we may say to ourselves, you know what, I just can't do that. There's a couple of guys that can do that, or a couple of sisters who just have that unique ability, but not me. I'm not able to do that. Is that true? Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that all of us can be successful when it comes to reaching the lost. Do you believe that? Amen. All of us can be successful when it comes to sharing our faith with others. The reality is, when it comes to talking to others about Jesus, it's not rocket science. Have you heard someone say that before? It's not rocket science. What do they mean when they say it's not rocket science? Well, whatever they're referring to, it is not as difficult as rocket science. And with respect to evangelism, it really isn't. It is not rocket science. It's not as difficult as we may make it out to be. The reality is, we don't have to have a PhD to share our faith with someone else. You don't have to be fluent in Hebrew or Greek to be able to share your faith with someone else in this community here. All of us can be successful in sharing our faith with those around us. You see, the Christians in the first century, what was it that the saints in Thessalonica did that they were so successful? For Paul said that your faith has gone everywhere. They were doing simple things that the same brethren were doing in Jerusalem and in all other parts of the world. Reaching the lost, my friends, is not rocket science. And what I want to talk about some simple ways that all of us can reach the lost. It's not rocket science. And I will tell you, my friend, this is something very important for all of us. We make up the body of Christ, and therefore we all have a responsibility to go out and to share the good news with others. There are so many people out there in the world that need to hear about Jesus. And that's where you and I come in. We're running out of time. Because one day Jesus is going to return. And therefore what it means is that we need to move with a sense of urgency in our lives. Because we have the greatest gift that anyone could ever have. That's the gift of salvation and knowing what Jesus has done for all mankind. And so let's talk about what are some simple things that all of us can do when it comes to reaching the lost. I have three things. And I will tell you, I took these from one of the shepherds at Dallin Road, okay? Wesley Pollard is one of our shepherds at Dallin Road, and for a number of years, he just has a way of talking to people. And he has a way of setting up Bible studies. He has a way of just getting people to listen to what he has to say. I was talking to Harold before services, and what Wesley will often do, he'll talk to someone, and he'll often say to them, well, you are that person. And this is just like a stranger, okay? Maybe at HEB or Walmart or something like that. He'll say, you are the person. And they'll say, well, what do you mean? And he will say to them, well, I pray that I might be able to talk to someone today, and you are that person. And you know what happens? They sit down with him, and he is able to share the Word of God with them. And so the points that I have this evening is something that I have heard from him over and over and over again, and it works. And it's not something that is necessarily original from him, but something that Christians have been doing since the first century. So let's talk about some simple ways that we can reach the lost. Number one, I would suggest to you, when it comes to reaching the lost, first, we need to open up our eyes. We need to see that there are opportunities everywhere we go. In fact, Jesus would teach that to the apostles. I want you to turn over to John chapter 4, and I want you to notice what Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse number 35. Now, Jesus had that interaction with the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus talking to his apostles in John chapter 4 and verse number 34 through 37. Let's take a listen to what it says here. In John 4 and verse number 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, for others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Jesus was talking about sowing and reaping, and he wanted his apostles to see, look, you're going to have plenty of opportunities out there. They needed to open up their eyes. And they would see later on all of the opportunities when it came to sowing and reaping and helping others to learn about Jesus Christ. When the Church of Christ began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, there were about 3,000 souls that were saved. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we looked at this a little bit earlier this morning. In Acts chapter 2, the apostles had the great opportunity on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, where there are thousands of Jews that would be gathered there, where they received Holy Spirit baptism that day, and they began to proclaim Jesus Christ. And what we will find, my friends, is that there is a pattern all throughout the first century with the Lord's church where these apostles looked for opportunities and they were successful because they kept their eyes open. In Acts 2 and verse number 40, Peter, as he was preaching, he said with many other words, he testified and exhorted them saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Their eyes were open, they took that opportunity, and as a result, thousands of souls were saved. Now look at Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, remember when Peter and John went to the temple. There was an opportunity when they went to the temple. The Bible says in Acts 3 and verse 1 that Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. This man would ask them for some money. And Peter and John said, look, we don't have any money, but we have something far greater. And they healed that man. And they would be able to teach others about Jesus Christ that day. You see, they kept their eyes open for opportunities. Look over in Acts chapter 9. I want you to notice what Paul did in Acts chapter 9 in verse number 20. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 20. After Paul was converted, we find in Acts 9 and verse number 20, the Bible says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that is, he is the Son of God. Paul went to a place where he knew that there would be people interested in hearing about Jesus. He kept his eyes open and saw an opportunity. Look over in Acts chapter 16, and I want you to notice what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 13. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 13. The Bible says, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. They knew that there were some religious-minded people there, and they said, we're going to go there and we're going to talk to them. They kept their eyes open, and everywhere they went, they saw opportunities. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends, we need to keep our eyes open to opportunities to share Jesus with others. And when we do, we will have some great results. And yet sometimes that's where the challenge is, isn't it? Have you ever said to yourself, I don't have any opportunities to teach the gospel? I mean, I just don't have those opportunities throughout the day. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that? Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you ever go to Walmart? Everybody goes to Walmart, right? Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people go to Walmart. Do you ever go to HEB? Do you ever take clothes in for or to the dry cleaner? Do you have a gym membership? You go to the mall? JCPenney? You ever get your hair done? Maybe get a manicure or a pedicure? You see, wherever you go, there are opportunities all around us. We have so many young people here. When you go back to school next month, you will have opportunities all around you every single day. Now, the slide on the picture on the slide here, it kind of looks like a doctor's office. You ever go to the doctor's office? If you have an 8:15 appointment, you know you're going to be there till at least 10 o'clock before they even see you. So you have at least 2 hours of opportunities just in the waiting room. People coming in and sitting next to you. You know how it kind of gets awkward when you're sitting next to that person or across from them and you're kind of looking at one another? There's a great opportunity right there to do something with respect to Jesus. My point is this. We need to open up our eyes. My friends, when we open up our eyes and look for these opportunities, we'll be amazed at what will happen. We have a sister back at Dallin Road. Her name is Linda Mercier, and she was at the courthouse. She had got summoned for jury duty. So she was waiting at the courthouse whether or not her name was going to be called. And she was reading the scripture. She had a Bible with her, reading her daily Bible reading. And you know what happened? Someone came to her and said, what are you reading? It was kind of like the reverse of the Ethiopian eunuch and with Philip. They came to her and said, what are you reading? And she said, well, I'm reading the scriptures. And they wanted to know more. And you know what happened? That woman ended up obeying the gospel. There are opportunities all over the place. It's kind of like when you buy a car. Have you ever bought a car, and all of a sudden, about a week after you buy a car, you realize that everybody has been following you, and they all have the same car like you do. They realize that you bought that car, and they said, we're going to buy the same car. You see your car everywhere you go. Well, they didn't do that because we bought that car. But we're more aware of what's going on. We're thinking about that car, and we see it in more places. That's the mentality that we need to have with respect to reaching the lost. We need to open up our eyes and recognize that there are opportunities everywhere we go, brethren. You see, when it comes to reaching the lost, it's not rocket science. And I realize opening up our eyes is a simple thing, and we have to do some more than simply open up our eyes, but this is where it begins. We need to look for opportunities to share Jesus with others. And that takes us to our second point. When it comes to reaching the lost, after we open up our eyes, the next thing we got to do, we got to open up our mouth. We're going to have to say something to that person. We're going to have to initiate some type of conversation with respect to Jesus Christ. Now, that is not rocket science, but I got to tell you, that is where it becomes kind of nerve-wracking sometimes. Have you ever been nervous to talk to someone about Jesus? I'm the only one in here that's ever been nervous. I got two. All right, I got three. Can I get four? All right, that's enough. I got four. All right. The point is, it can be a little intimidating, can't it? To share your faith with someone else. And yet, that's exactly what we need to do. Opening up our eyes is only going to take us so far. Eventually, we're going to have to start talking a little bit more about Jesus Christ. Why do we get nervous sometimes? Why is it that we want to sometimes are a little bit more standoffish than we should be? I think sometimes we may lack some confidence with beginning a conversation. How do you talk to a total stranger? Or maybe even some confidence when it comes to talking to our family member or friend or neighbor that we've known for 10 or 15 years. We may lack some confidence there. We may fear, if I share with them my faith in Jesus Christ, am I going to offend them? What if they don't believe what I have to say? Then what am I going to do? I may look silly trying to share with them what the Bible has to say. I believe there are a lot of different reasons as to why sometimes we don't always open up our mouth and talk to others about Jesus. In fact, if you have ever felt that way before, then you're not alone, because there are men in the Word of God, great men in the Word of God, who were a little nervous, who did not always have the courage that they needed when God called upon them to do something. And God wants us to do this, brethren. He wants us to share our faith with others. And the man that I think about so much, and maybe you're thinking about him, is the man named Moses. Look back in Exodus chapter 3. Many of us are familiar with this man. We know what happened at the end of his life and throughout his life as he led the people of Israel into the promised land. But Moses initially did not want to do the will of God. He didn't want to lead the people out of bondage. And he used every excuse in the book to try to get out of doing what God wanted him to do. And sometimes, if not careful, we can be just like Moses. We can try to find every excuse in the book to say, nah, I'm not ready yet to talk to someone about Christ. I want you to notice the excuses that he used. Look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 11. Actually, look at verse number 10. God speaking to Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 10, he said, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, here's excuse number one, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" You see what he did? He lacked confidence. He said, "I can't do this. Who am I? I'm just a regular old guy, all right?" But God said, "Nope, Moses, that's not going to work." Look what he said in verse 12. He said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you." So the first excuse did not work. That should have been sufficient for Moses to say, "Okay, Lord, I want to go out there and get the task done." But he didn't. Look at verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Moses said, "I don't know what to say." We say that sometimes, don't we? I don't know how to initiate that conversation. How do I begin to share what I believe with respect to Jesus Christ? And God said, "Moses, that excuse will not work." In verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And so what God is doing here, he's trying to encourage Moses. "Moses, I'm going to be with you. You will be successful. Just go out there and do my will." Look at chapter 4 and verse number 1. Moses didn't stop there. We've got to give Moses some credit here. Moses was pretty persistent, okay? In chapter 4 and verse 1, Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you." Moses said, "What if they don't believe the things that I'm telling them?" I think that's one of the big reasons why sometimes we may not be as aggressive as we should. Suppose an atheist that I talk to doesn't really believe. Or suppose that religious-minded person at work is not going to believe what I have to teach them or share with them with respect to baptism or the church that Jesus Christ established. But that didn't work either for Moses, okay? Because look at what God said in verse number 2. The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." He said, "Cast it on the ground." And so God was showing Moses, "Listen, here's how you'll be able to demonstrate that I'm with you. Here's evidence for you." The point that God wanted Moses to see, you're going to be successful. Get out there and lead my people to the promised land. The same is true for us, brethren. We can throw out all the excuses that we want. "I don't know what to say." look at me. I'm not that guy. I'm not that lady who can be the one who talks to that individual. What if some of them do not believe? Listen, our trust and our faith has to be in the gospel message. That's where the power is. And yet we can be just like Moses. Moses wasn't done yet. Look at verse number 10. Moses is now really getting real with God. He said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." He said, "I'm not a good presenter. I'm not a good spokesman. Come on, find somebody else, God." And God said to the Lord, or said to Moses, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seen, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say." So Moses finally got it, right? No. Look at the next verse. He said in verse 13, "Oh my Lord," and the thing that we got to appreciate with Moses, at least he was brutally honest, okay? He said, "Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." He said, "I don't want to do it. Get someone else." And God said, "Enough." Look at the next verse. Verse 14, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." Ladies and gentlemen, that's a scary thing to consider. That God said, "Enough. Moses, you are going to be successful, but you have to trust with what I am doing. You need to trust me. Trust my power." And the point I want us to see here, brethren, is that when it comes to reaching the lost, we will be successful. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we can be successful in 2014, reaching the lost? I know that our world has changed dramatically. I know that many people are not even attending worship services anymore, but we have something great on our side, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is where the power lies. And we don't need games. We don't need gimmicks to try to win people over, because we have something far greater. We have the gospel message. Brethren, do you believe that? We need to believe that. Because for almost 2,000 years, we have seen the gospel continue to save souls. And nothing is going to change with that. The gospel still has the power. The challenge for us is that sometimes we look at all the wrong things. We think of all the what-ifs and what-ifs and what-ifs. But don't worry about the what-ifs. Think about, what if I don't talk to that person? They die outside of Jesus Christ. We're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. And everyone is either going to heaven or hell. And we have the message to save the souls of men. Therefore, it's time for us to hustle and to get out there. We have no time for excuses. And all of us can be successful when it comes to reaching the lost. Many of us are here tonight because someone had the courage to open up their eyes, and someone had the courage to open up their mouth and say to us, "There is something that I'd like to share with you. I see that you're going in the wrong direction." Many of us are here for that reason. Here's the point. This is what we need to do. Open up our eyes. Open up our mouth. We need to have courage, brethren. We need to trust in the power of the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that every person that we talk to is going to obey Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that, because we know that's not going to happen. However, remember what Jesus said in John 4, the passage we read earlier, this idea of sowing and reaping. Our responsibility is to get out there, plant the seed. And we never know what will happen from there. In 2009, when I started the training program at Dallin Road, after working with Pfizer for a number of years, I received an email from a friend of mine. Her name is Alyssa. And I had not talked to Alyssa since, I don't know, maybe 3 years before that, 05 or 06. We went out to White Plains, New York. That's where the training facility was at the time with Pfizer. And there were a bunch of us studying for all the different tests and things like that that we needed. And I don't even remember doing this, but she sent me an email. She sent me an email. She said, "You gave me a sheet of paper in 2001. With some verses on it, with respect to salvation." She grew up in a Pentecostal background. And she held on to that sheet of paper. And she would meet a nurse in one of her doctor's offices who would share the scriptures with her. And she would eventually marry that nurse's son. And she became a Christian. And I don't even remember giving her the sheet of paper. But that started something. And while there wasn't an immediate result, there was something that was there for her to hold on to and for her to consider for a number of years. And my point is, all of us can be successful when we open up our eyes, when we open up our mouth in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is not rocket science. And I just really mentioned my last point here of reaching the lost. We've got to open up our eyes. We've got to open up our mouth. You guys know what the last point is. It's going to start with the word open. What do you think? Everyone still with me? All right, here it is. You got to open up our Bibles. That's what we got to do. We got to open up our eyes, our mouth, and then we got to open up the Word of God. If people are going to obey Christ, they got to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. As Peter went back to Jerusalem after the conversion of Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10, Peter was given an account of what took place in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his household, they would be saved. And in Acts chapter 11, in verse number 13, the Bible says, as he was given an account of what took place, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." Cornelius had received a vision. An angel was talking to him, and the angel told him that Peter was going to go to his house because he needed to hear some words by which he would be saved. And we can open up our eyes and we can open up our mouth, but eventually we got to get to that next step where we share with them the Word of God, where we sit down or have that conversation at work or have that conversation over lunch hour at school or have that conversation over the phone, where we have opened up the Bible and are sharing with them the Word of God. And that means that we have to be ready. We have to be ready to share with them what the Bible wants them, what God wants them to do. And this, again, is one of the biggest challenges where people get really nervous with respect of studying with someone else. Maybe you have opened up your eyes. Maybe you have opened up your mouth. Now you got to open up your Bible. I saw this in action not too long ago. Actually, it was about a year ago at the gym. And there's a brother at Dowling Road, Roger Smith, and he works out at the gym. Now, when I work out, I know it doesn't look like I work out, but I still try to work out. And when I work out, I like to listen to music. And I really don't like to be bothered at the gym. And so I saw Roger there, and he's my friend, and he's my brother in Christ, and what Roger wants to do at the gym, and I have to repent about this, but Roger, he wants to talk to people. And he said, look, at the gym, look, because he listened to what I had to say. Open your eyes. Here's an opportunity. But I like to get in and then get out at the gym. And he said, "Let's talk to someone." And I said, "Well, who do you want to talk to?" He said, "That guy over there." The guy was like 6'7". His name was Shannon. And he's doing squats. I was like, "Well, who is he?" But he couldn't remember his name at the time. So he said, "I want you to go over there and talk to him. Set up a Bible study." I said, "Me? You're the one that knows him. You don't even know his name." He said, "Come on, let's go over there." So I was like, "All right." So I went over there, and I told him, I said, "Look, I don't know who you are, but I got a really cool Bible presentation. Would you like to hear it? It may change your life." And he said, "Yes." And I said, "What?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You want to hear it?" He said, "Yeah." So I said, "Okay." So got a sheet of paper and got his phone number, and Nikki and I were getting ready to go on vacation. He wanted to meet the following Monday. And so I couldn't meet him for the study, but I called Wesley, and I said, "Can you cover for me that Monday?" And you know what happened? He gave his life over to the Lord. Now, I've been passing out cards, 1,000 cards, business cards, and I finally found someone who responded. But the point is, Roger opened up his eyes. He forced me to open up my mouth, and Wesley opened up the Bible. And a soul was saved. And I keep seeing this over and over again, that when it comes to reaching the lost, my friends, we can be successful. But where do we begin when we open up the Word of God? Where do we begin? Do we talk about instrumental music? Do we talk about baptism? Do we talk about the Lord's church? Where do we start? That can be very challenging. Or what type of material should we use? Should we use a big picture of the Bible or a 4-lesson book on Bible authority? Where do we begin? There's lots of material out there. Material is not our problem. We got plenty of material. And knowing what to do is not our challenge either. You know what I think we need to do? Use whatever material you want to use, hopefully, and make sure everything is according to the Word of God. But how about we just share with people Jesus? How about we just let them know what Jesus has done for us in our lives? That we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That He saved us from our sins when we did not deserve it. And let's share with them what the Bible has to say of this man named Jesus of Nazareth. Let's share with them the miracles that we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's share with them and show them that Jesus was resurrected from the grave on the first day of the week. Let's just share with individuals what the Bible has to say with respect to Jesus. Let's demonstrate to them how He's changed our lives and how they can receive salvation through Him when they obey what He has to say in His Word. But folks, there's not a set formula with respect of where to begin or what material to use, but we do need to open up the Word of God. And what better place than to open it up and share with them who Jesus Christ is? And I gotta tell you, everyone in our society, not everyone in our society, but so many people in our society, they're not ashamed of anything. Michael Sam is not ashamed to be a homosexual. Miley Cyrus is not ashamed of anything. So why are we sometimes ashamed of Jesus? He died for our sins. We need to share Him with others. That, my friend, is not rocket science. I began with a sad story of Mr. Martinez. Let me end with a positive story. The hands that you see are the hands of one of our shepherd's wives, Yvonne, and a sister in Christ named Karen Copeland. We met Karen Copeland. It was an interesting way that we met. Her son came to Dallin Road from Washington. And Karen was in a place where she had assistance because Karen had cancer. And her son wanted to know if we could set up a Bible study with her. There's Karen right there. There's Nikki with a big smile right there. Some of the other sisters there. But Karen was interested in learning more about Christ. And so some of our sisters went over talked to Karen. Karen had tumors all over her body. She wanted to obey Jesus. Took her to the building, and I did not think she was going to get baptized because our baptistry is upstairs. And it took 3 men to get up the stairs. 3 men to baptize her. Because we had to be careful how we handled her. It took an hour and a half. But because her son was willing to be concerned about her, and because sisters and brothers in Christ, Max and Chris and myself and so many other sisters went over there and shared the good news and opened up the Word of God, Karen was saved. And for 3 months, she outdid some of us. At worship, every week. Dying of cancer. And Karen is now in the bosom of Abraham. Because individuals like her son had the courage to open up his eyes The sisters had the courage to open up their mouth and share the Word of God with her. See, brethren, this is what it's all about, isn't it? We talked about this morning. The death is real. We're going to die one day. There are people all around us who are not prepared. We don't have time to be ashamed. We don't have time to be complacent. This is not our church. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And everybody has opportunity and right to enjoy the great blessings of Jesus. And so what we need to do, my friends, we need to help people like Karen. We need to open up our eyes, open up our mouth, and open up the Word of God. And when we do, I don't guarantee it. The Holy Spirit guarantees it. That we will be successful. Because the gospel has the power to save souls. So here's my challenge for all of us. I know this is a great congregation. And yet I'll still give you this challenge. You guys have these great cards, these simple cards out in the foyer. Take five of them. I had 231 people here this morning. We all take five cards. Can we get five cards out in a week? I believe we can. People all over Lufkin will be talking about what's going on there. And you may have that opportunity where somebody says, "Yeah, I want to hear more about your faith." And when that time comes, you got to be ready. Because there's someone out there who needs Jesus Christ. Comes to reaching the lost, my friends, is not rocket science. So let's get out there. Let's do as much as we can because time is running out. And I'll tell you, my friends, there's someone here outside of Jesus Christ who need to be saved today. If you're a young man or young woman here and you've been coming to services and you know the truth about Jesus Christ, your parents have taught you the Word of God, your grandparents have taught you the truth, why are you waiting? Do not deceive yourself into thinking that you have plenty of time. And don't be deceived by the lies of the devil, what you see on TV or movies or music and things like that, that you're missing something in the world because you are not. You're going to stand before God one day. And He has blessings that He wants to give to you right now. You want to be saved? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Word of God? Are you willing to change, to repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God? Are you willing to be baptized? Maybe there's someone here today who hasn't been baptized. Maybe just has some misunderstandings about baptism. Baptism, my friend, is for the remission of sins. Not one person in the New Testament was ever saved prior to baptism as a Christian. Because a person is not saved prior to their baptism. They're saved as a result of their faith in baptism. Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. No one was ever saved in the Word of God by saying the sinner's prayer. That's what you'll hear on the Trinity Broadcast Network and most preachers, maybe even here in Lufkin. But the reality is, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." My friend, that is book, chapter, and verse, Mark 16:16. And you need to be saved if you have not done that, so you can be right with the Lord. Jesus loves us, and He wants us to be saved. Is there someone here tonight that needs to be saved? If you do, don't wait. Do it right now. Because tomorrow's not promised. For those of us who have been saved, and I'm done. For those of us who have been saved, let's appreciate what we have. We got something great. Let's get out there. Let's share our faith with others. Something as simple as giving someone a card and inviting them to services may change that person's life. Let's do all we can for our Savior. If you're subject to the invitation, come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.